Blog Talk Radio.
Bye, Emery.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Hi, and welcome to How's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight's our monthly recap episode where we look back at the top news stories in real estate from Brooklyn in the month of January. Stay tuned for Bob.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. Been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home. The good old Brooklyn.
It's our recap episode where we look back at the top news stories from Brooklyn real estate in January and some of the topics we're going to be talking about today from numerous media sites. We're going to be about Brooklyn itself as a hot neighborhood, people's creative ways of buying in Brooklyn, the Park Slope preview and review, the Eastern New York makeover, among other topics. Stay tuned for Bob.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn.
Welcome, everyone, to How's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Riverside Marketing. Tonight we're doing our monthly wrap-up of Brooklyn real estate, and Jason has been hard at work scouring the internet and periodicals and newspapers, finding the most up-to-date stories of Brooklyn real estate, and he's done once again a wonderful job. Jason, what do you have for us this evening?
Well, Bob, once again, we've no shortage of stories and good stories to talk about when we discuss Brooklyn real estate, and they come from a variety of media outlets. The first one up, right out of the gate, and this story, not a new one, so I don't think we'll spend a lot of time on this one, but I do like the moral to this story, and it deals with, comes to us from Inman.com. And it deals with what else but how hot Brooklyn is. And it's titled The Ingredients for a Hot Real Estate Market, Lessons from Brooklyn. It seems to be that if you're writing about real estate, you must have a story about Brooklyn and its appeal to the world and who's going to be the next Brooklyn. And this kind of delves into that, and it lists all of our, you know, great neighborhoods in Brooklyn as all being hot, and these are the top ones, and this is where people, Brooklyn is now the destination. Even goes so far as to say that one of the places trying to become the next Brooklyn is in Australia, in Perth. But I love the resolution to all this is at the end, and I'll let you chime in before we get to that.
Well, we'll hold a resolution for you, but this is yet another article about the hot Brooklyn real estate market. And yes, you can't have a conversation about real estate in the United States or maybe even the world without mentioning Brooklyn. And, of course, Brooklyn is the real estate market in Brooklyn is allure to purchasers, home buyers, investors, brokers, lenders. There's a lot of Brooklyn envy out there. I'm just wondering, though, is every real estate market throughout the world going to at one time experience a Brooklyn renaissance? I don't think so. So there will be some broken hearts out there. But I guess that will be the topic of another discussion. Places that thought they were heading like Brooklyn and did not. But for the time being, fortunately, we're in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is the benchmark as, against to be marked, compared against every other real estate area in the United States, maybe the world. What is your take on this?
Well, I mean, it does list a lot of different things that factor into to why Brooklyn is the success it is in terms of real estate. Aside from being a great place to live, it's the fourth biggest city in the country, I believe, and I think it's got tremendous merit as still having that neighborhood feel. Yet it's such a big place, and it's butts the basically the capital of the free world, New York. The things that it lists, if you're using Brooklyn as a blueprint for how to become the next Brooklyn, and you're looking at what it has to offer, I don't know that all these other places can copy it, because we've got, the tech companies coming in now, the restaurants. It's just being so close to the financial capital of the world. I don't know any other place that's going to really have everything on that tick list that Brooklyn's got. So it's going to be tough to find the next Brooklyn. And I think that this article realizes that. And as you're going through it, you're waiting for the punchline. Well, where's it going to be? What's the projection going to be for this? And what the article realizes is that the next Brooklyn is still Brooklyn.
And it does point out that there are still neighborhoods that have yet to be so-called discovered, although we know they're there, but investors, hipsters, people looking to make first big killing in real estate are discovering, I put that in quotes, these next neighborhoods when, we know they've been there for forever. But there is a quality of leapfrogging, maybe hopscotching, in terms of the way Brooklyn is blossoming. And I guess you could almost say it's like a flower opening. It's flower, it's the petals. The more it matures, more petals grow and open, and you see a much larger picture. And I think that's what's happening with Brooklyn. We're starting to see almost the whole flower in bloom at this point.
And we're going to get into three of those areas in Brooklyn and neighborhoods in our discussions tonight, the first of which is Windsor Terrace, in a story from the New York Times. In Windsor Terrace, there is a very interesting and unique way for one particular family, although it really is two families, who have pursued their goal of buying in Brooklyn. And it is quite unique. Two sisters and their families have decided that they wanted to go in together on a two-family home. And after much searching, they found a good situation in Windsor Terrace for what seems to be a pretty reasonable price at $1.3 million. And I was wondering, as I read this, have you ever come across a unique situation as unique as this, or even one more unique than this, with any clients when they bought?
You mean two families buying the same? No, this is interesting, although It certainly is an economy of scale, allowing, you know, these people to get into a property that would otherwise be unreachable and attainable for them, you know, putting their financing powers together to buy a larger property. Of course, from a legal point of view, I'm wishing them good luck. Hopefully they all agree on, you know, what repairs have to be made, who's paying for it, renovations that are going to be done. I guess if they could pretty much divvy up the house in their mind as to, okay, I'm responsible, I'm going to do whatever I want on the first floor, I'm going to do whatever you want on the second floor, you know, they may have a pretty good relationship going on. But, of course, later on, either as their families grow or their jobs change or their tastes change, you know, the split up, hopefully amicably, I use that word, you know, nicely, you know, splitting up. Of course, there could be a bad split up. But, you know, if one person needs to get out for whatever reason, health, job, employment, changing financial situation, marital status, size of family. At that point, you know, they both got in together. The question is, will they both get out together? And will one leaving cause the other one, maybe against their wishes, also having to get up and move out? But who knows? Maybe this could be a trend where, you know, families are buying, or even friends or partners or same-sex couples are buying properties that it would otherwise be out of their lease, but, you know, because of a relationship, they can buy a bigger property, combine their funds, buy a larger property jointly, and live there. Going in part probably is okay. I'm just worried about the getting out part. You know, that could be a little bumpy too.
That is a good point. I mean, it's not some place that you could sell a portion of it. You basically buy it together, and you have to sell it together unless one would buy out the other. But then that leads to the question of, well, if they couldn't afford it going in, that's a pretty sizable expenditure to take on if one family decides they want to leave. But it does illustrate the lengths people are going to try and find that piece of that slice of the pie in Brooklyn and make a go of it. And it's almost like a gentrification by household. They're taking over one particular household, maybe spreading out from there. Maybe one will eventually move down the block or to another street, right, you know, a few blocks over, and it almost seems like that's the way it was done in the past, and maybe they're bringing that back as only Brooklyn can allow people to do.
Yeah, you probably, 100 years ago, this probably made sense where an entire family would pool their resources to buy something. Life got a little more complicated 100 years later, and I'm wondering if that same situation could, you know, exist today.
Well, our next story comes from, also from the New York Times, and it deals with another neighborhood in Brooklyn, and this, of course, has for a long time been one of the preeminent neighborhoods in the gems of Brooklyn's Park Slope, for numerous reasons, not the least of which is Prospect Park. It goes into detail about the history of the park and the creation of the park. The Gold Coast-style homes, as it refers to, that line Prospect Park West They are magnificent, and it almost gives you a look back into a mini Gilded Age of in New York, but the setting in Brooklyn. What I did find most interesting about it is the couple that's profiled in this article who relocate to Park Slope from Greenwich Village described it as Park Slope had that cozy neighborhood feel, and they refer to it as Sesame Street. And it's interesting that now this is the draw where Park Slope might have been at one time considered a young area and a hipster area. Now you see them, it's something that now the families are going into Park Slope.
You know, I wonder if you put up a few gas lamps and maybe wear top hats and long overcoats. We could get back to the age of Charles Dickens. It is true, you know, Park Slope, credit to them. You know, 50 years ago, it was a dangerous place to live. 50 years later, a hot place to live, and families, as you point out, are starting nests there. Something that once people get there, they stay there forever. Of course, we discussed on other shows how people are leapfrogging over Park Slope because they can't afford to get in there, so they're leapfrogging up Sunset Park and beyond, because for half an hour they can get twice as much home. But there is a song of Park Slope. A lot of students down there, they ride off the park. The brown stone, that dark chocolate brown stone, high steps, and the big windows. Really, there's an allure that takes you back, makes you feel like you're in New York at the turn of the earlier century.
It is a very interesting place, and you know, if you've ever, if you haven't been Park Slope on a Saturday, it's a great place to go if you want to just stroll through the farmers markets in the spring and the summer, or Prospect Park itself. It's got that great old movie theater, the Pavilion, down there, and there's very few places you can go in New York, and when you're actually in New York and in Brooklyn, where you're driving your car and you could be stopped at a red light and look over and see a caravan of riders on horseback cross your path as they ride down in Park Slope and in and around Park Slope. It's just a real throwback to well, maybe things may have moved a little slow, if they ever moved slow in New York at all, but when they moved a little slower in New York.
One question, though, I have, just looking at this article, not about Park Slope itself, but New York Times. Why would the New York Times showcase an already hot, popular, it's like saying, let me tell you about the side.
Yes.
Usually the articles you see in the Times are a little swath of a town up in, say, Putnam County or someplace over in Jersey, and they have a cute story of the Main Street and a few restaurants that are there and some Center Hall Colonials that go for about $500,000. And of course, it always says, you know, what you'll find, how to get what it costs, and et cetera. But to do Park Slope as one of these articles, I don't know. Like I said, it's like saying, we discovered the Sutton Place. You know, what to do in Sutton Place.
Yeah,
it's Sutton Place. But be that as it may, I guess New York Times is running out of cute communities to write about and started back, started looking at their back issues.
Yeah.
And,
The article isn't prophetic at all. I mean, it's almost as if, like, hey, if you haven't heard of Park Slope, but it's almost kind of connects back to our earlier article from Inman.com that you can't be writing in real estate unless you've got a Brooklyn story. And this is just an example where maybe the New York Times say, hey, look, we've got to put out if it's Tuesday, we've got to put out a story about Brooklyn. Because that's what the readers are interested in. That's what seems to be that the investors are interested in. That's what everybody wants to know about, even if it's information that may be old to a lot of people. And Park Slope, as a trendy neighborhood, has had that label for quite some time. What hasn't been a trendy neighborhood for recently is Eastern New York, and that's the topic of our next piece from Curb.com, which is talking about the possible makeover for East New York, and thanks to, again, Mayor de Blasio's attempt to create new affordable housing to the tune of, I believe it was 200,000 new units of affordable housing space. And a lot of speculators are thinking that this could be an area in Brooklyn that could be the next up-and-coming hotspot. A lot of this focuses on the risk and reward of people coming into the developers and then the people who are waiting to buy as a place that's going to be built up. But again, this is an area that has not had a great track record or history. It is impoverished and maybe a little depressed. And you kind of wonder if it doesn't take off, you know, in terms of the affordable housing, who is going to come in and scoop up those developers' projects? And if it doesn't, is this going to be the end of this area in terms of being salvaged?
Well, East New York is a little bit has a tough neighborhood reputation to it. And to put affordable housing in there, excellent idea, but question whether or not that would hinder or help other development or stifle it. People who live down in Red Hook in the 30s and 40s tell the story about Mayor LaGuardia going down to Red Hook and saying, I like this neighborhood and I like you people and I'm going to do something good for you and I'm going to build affordable housing, and destroyed half of the neighborhood doing it, and there was a flight out of Red Hook. Although Red Hook is popular now, I dare say not a ton of development down there. It is a very eclectic neighborhood, but not to the point of a Williamsburg where 50-story skyscrapers going up. There are developments there. So you wonder if putting in lower-income housing, grade 4 addition, it's a very tight rental market in New York. But if people think gentrification is going to follow, I don't know necessarily. You hear where there was discussion of affordable housing, and the developer put up some affordable housing, some really expensive housing, and then put the door to the affordable housing on one side of the block, and the door to the expensive housing on the other side of the block, and never between meets. So it is good that the neighborhood could use a revitalization, and affordable housing might be the key to stabilizing it and reviving it. Are people going to go there and use it as affordable housing, and or are developers going to go there and try develop expensive housing, or is nobody going to go there? That's the question.
It could also create a new problem where it was trying to solve the existing one. If the idea is to create affordable housing for people who live in New York now, native New Yorkers or New Yorkers who maybe getting priced out of these areas because of the rising costs, and the goal was to create housing for them. It could also create an influx of people from all around the world who are looking to get into Brooklyn, and maybe these young urban professionals or the hipsters or the bohemians or who or the transients from around the world who might swoop down and say, here's where now I can get into Brooklyn and here's my inroad, and it might still leave the families who might be looking for affordable housing still out looking for affordable housing.
Well said, yes.
Next up, we're going to go two brief stories and just as we close out our recap episode. And the real deal, I just found this interesting because the building is so nice, at least on the outside, and looks to be one of those throwback buildings from a lost part of our history. And the Brooklyn Lyceum is going to be converted into condos. It's a landmark, and I wonder what your thoughts on this are.
This is the Dumbo clock we're talking about, or
this is the Lyceum.
Yes, you know those condos are going in every which way. Let's start. But Brooklyn has a plethora of beautiful buildings. They say the Lyceum was a former public bathhouse. Great buildings that fell into disrepair were abandoned. Shuttered, and then all of a sudden, someone decides to turn it into a condo. And I pass by this place about every day on my way down to the courthouse. Beautiful building, once again, right next, right in Park Slope. So how can you go wrong? I guess anything you turn into a condo down there is going to, be a wonderful place. 20,000 square feet of development rights, additional that they got, and looks like 2017 they'll be open for business. But of course, the building being a really old style building, probably landmarked, and probably has to get a lot of approvals before, the contractors can go in and start transforming this into a condo.
Yeah, but when all is said and done, you think, and if everything goes well and as they plan, a purchase price of that lot, that building, that space for about $7.5 million doesn't sound like an awful lot of money. For that type of investment.
You definitely get a lot of property, and you and I, Jason, have seen apartments that go for $6 million. So although the inside of this place doesn't look very inviting, I guess you could put your bedroom anywhere you want in the 20,000 square feet. Area and kind of be happy, but you do get. It does look like you're getting a lot for $7.6 million.
That'd just be a fraction of the money you'd have to come up with for the next place, which is in the Brooklyn Daily Eagle. Just as a way, since we're still closing out January, we're still at the start of the new year. I thought this was an interesting story about an apartment for sale in Brooklyn. For the tune of $18 million, it's the famous clock tower in Dumbo. But if you think about it, could there be a better place in all the world to celebrate New Year's Eve? And this could be almost like New Year's Eve every night if you lived in this amazing space.
Yeah, certainly a lot of people want to come and visit you. I'll tell you that. the rooms with the clock face in them are spectacular. And $18 million, we're talking about apartments for $18 million. I doubt they have four clock faces in an apartment. So $18 million may seem a little cheap, something we should look at.
We could go in as an investment property.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a nice way for us to close out our January New Year's recap episode, and a place that's got some amazing views of what is an amazing borough.
Once again, Jason, you have outdone yourself in scouring the internet and various real estate periodicals to find very interesting and timely stories about Brooklyn real estate. So that concludes our tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show, and thanks to Jason's research for bringing us half a dozen very interesting articles about what's going on in Brooklyn in January 2015. This is Howes New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I'm your host, Robert Howe.
Heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge.